the biggest thing too for us as women, giving yourself grace, because a lot of times I have not done that. What did I do wrong? How could I fix this? How I can't do that anymore. I can't control other people's actions, and we have to accept that. The only thing we can do is control how we react to a situation and learn from it. That's the biggest thing for me, is what lessons can I take from this? Lord, what am I supposed to do to move forward with this? Looking at it as ways for me to grow in my faith and trusting that all things are going to work out for my good.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my lovely co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, girl. Hey.
And our beautiful guest today is Tina Boyd. She is the founder of Grit and Polish Coaching, where she helps women create a path to financial freedom by building the tenacity to push through and the finesse to succeed in private money lending. Tina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Today, we're not going to talk too much about private money lending, though. We're going to talk about when things don't go as planned, how to be resilient, how to flip the script and reclaim your power.
You know, I've known Tina for a couple of years now. So I just want to ask you, Tina, so what's happening right now? What's going on in your life?
So I want to ask myself, what's not going on? Top four things going on right now is my engagement was called off in January. Toward the end of January, one of my borrowers, I'm going to have to foreclose on the house, was not expecting that. March 11th, I was called in and was told that my role was being eliminated. So my W-2 job is going away as well. So trying to figure out how do I manage through all of those things and still maintain my sanity.
Oh, my goodness. You know, looking at you, I wouldn't think that you were dealing with all of that. So what do you think has been most important for you in dealing with all these different things that seem to be happening at one time?
I think the biggest thing for me is I'm a faith-based person. And I think it was a time that God was working with me to learn to rely on Him and that all my trust should be placed in Him. I think I went through a time where I kind of put Him on the shelf and these other things became the focal point in my life when really He should have been the foundation of those things.
Okay.
You know, and I just want to hold space for what you're sharing with us and with our listeners today, because I know there's a lot of women listening to this right now that are going through it and they're going through one of those things and it feels like the end of the world. And you're going through a relationship ended, a deal is not working out. It's foreclosing. And that's not how you planned it. When you go into a private money loan deal, you don't want to have to deal with that. And then you also got the news that your position is being eliminated at work. And any one of those things, I think, can take one of us out where we just want to go back to bed and pull the covers over our head. But like, Tina, you look amazing. And I know you cleaned yourself up, but like I'm so inspired by how you're showing up and the attitude that you're approaching these things. Tell us about, you know, when you got, because any one of those is big news. When you get news like that, what's your first response? Like, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
The first thing that comes to mind for me, and probably out of the three of those, the most devastating was the relationship, because it's something that I had prayed for. Worked on myself to show up fully and authentically to love someone and didn't realize that they weren't ready for that themselves. And one of the things I know that I do historically is that I try to make sure everyone else is okay at the expense of myself. And that's what I did in that relationship, that there were things that I should have probably paid attention to that I kind of overlooked. And so that is how I've wound up where I am. I was totally devastated, but as I shared, it was a struggle, a lot of crying and whatnot and praying, but God brought me to where I am now. And I'm really surprised. And I guess I shouldn't be, because God is awesome. Yes. for me to be where I am now, being able to show up for my coaching classes, for my students. I just want to give everybody 110%. I always know my calling is to serve, which is why I was in HR. But I start getting burnt out on HR as well. But I knew that the coaching, this doesn't feel like work. It's a passion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. To see your students grow and whatnot. Those are things that keep me going. And one of the things I think that help as well is being transparent in your journey. Some students are aware of what I have gone through. And it has just been nice to be embraced and loved and supported and prayed for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that I think we as women are famous for putting everyone else before ourselves. We're like at the bottom of the list. Once they're good, then all of a sudden we think about ourselves. But we, you know, and as time goes on, you know, we realize that we got to take care of we're just as important. Mm-hmm. We got to take care of ourselves. And it sounds like that you have been doing a great job of handling this and processing it from the standpoint of what I can do and not making it about, you know, anything else. I mean, I would think it would be a normal feeling to, you know, mourn the loss of a relationship. But actually the second thing that you talked about, which was the deal not going, you know, the way it needs to, and you having to foreclose, is also a loss of another relationship, mm-hmm. you know, from the business standpoint. So yes. It all, you know, so do you think that because you were already kind of in a posture of dealing with the shifts and the change and the pivot that you were faced with in your personal life, then to have this other thing happen right behind it. Do you think that kind of, the two kind of helped you to kind of manage both losses, or was there any kind of, were you able to kind of tie them together in any way as far as how you deal with it?
I am sure there's some truth to that, but like I shared earlier about me taking care of everyone else in this particular deal, I knew she was struggling in December, and I offered to the next three payments. I offered, just because they were monthly payments, I offered to place those on the back end of the loan to help her out. So mm-hmm. again, looking out for the needs of others at the expense of self, and feel like it was almost like a repeated cycle. I kind of feel mm-hmm. like that's, mm-hmm. I think that's what had happened there. But for me, like I said, your village, the support, prayer, getting my life back on track from a spiritual standpoint has been phenomenal. I've had wonderful women in my life praying for me. I know people probably get tired of keep hearing your story when you're crying, but I'm so glad. I'm like January 2nd to now, I'm like, I'm not shedding tears anymore. If anything, I'm praying for others. I pray for my borrower. I pray for my ex-fiance. Some people would probably find that like, you know, startling. But I'm in a good space. I really, really am.
That's great. It is. That's such a, I mean, and it's only been a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, let's be real about that. Like, it's only been a few weeks that you've been going through it. And I love hearing how God is showing up for you. Talk to us about what you're doing for self-care to start taking care of yourself, because that's a great lesson that you're learning. But how are you showing up for you a little differently today than you were maybe 4 months ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably saying no more often than I normally probably would, and probably diving into the things that really feed me. You hear me talk about devotions and whatnot, but one of the biggest passions is my, Women Flipping the Script Facebook group. Mm-hmm. Just talking to a lot of the women is just so empowering. I know this is Women's History Month. And recently I showcased the students who are in my current class. We're halfway through a 6-week class, but just phenomenal women who, I think yesterday I opened up an Amazon package and it was a calendar set. You always tell them they're a badass. And it said, I got a calendar from one of my students that said, you're a badass. She said, with all you're going through and I share these with you, I just ordered the calendar for you. So just really sweet things and being supportive. And I think the biggest thing too for us as women, giving yourself grace. Mm-hmm. That is something I have really been able to you know, delve into for myself, because a lot of times I have not done that. What did I do wrong? How could I fix this? I can't do that anymore. I can't control other people's actions, and we have to accept that. The only thing we can do is control how we react to a situation and learn from it. That's the biggest thing for me, is what lessons can I take from this? Lord, what am I supposed to do to move forward with this? How does this impact me? And not always looking at it being, because normally I would have looked at it as being defeated with the things that have come up, looking at it as ways for me to grow in my faith, and trusting that all things are going to work out for my good. So,
That's awesome. You know, I, you know, and you and I are friends, so we've had behind the scenes conversations about, you know, what you're going through, and, you know, and every time we sit and we talk and I hear how you are moving through this, you know, this different phase of your life. And I, what comes to mind for me is a transitional time for you, that you're transitioning out of one thing and into another. And we had several conversations, and you, I remember you saying, boy, I'm ready to leave this W-2 job. I just want to coach full time. She said it so many times, so that when she called and shared the news about what was going on in her, the transition that they had, you know, eliminated her position. I mean, she wasn't like, oh my gosh. She was more or less like, oh well, I guess it's time.
It's no time.
Yeah, I'm like, well, look at God. You know,
showing up, showing out.
That's right. So with everything that's going on, especially, you know, these days and times about people losing jobs or positions being eliminated or whatever, share with me what your thought was when you got that call and you realized what was happening. What was your first thought?
I knew it was coming just by the direction where the company was going, but I was at my desk that day, and I got a message through Teams saying, can you meet me in the orange conference room? I said, I know I'm getting ready to get laid off. And I took my laptop in with me. I walked in, I said, so what's up? She's just like, and we're friends. Me and my manager are friends. And she said, well, you know, we've been through all these layoffs. And I'm like, just get to the good part. And, well, we've had to do some more eliminations. I'm like, okay. And I was calm. It really was calm. And she said, well, your role was eliminated. I'm like, okay. Okay. And she said, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm actually okay. She started tearing up. I said, I'm okay, Jody. I'm okay. It is going to be okay. And she's just like, oh my gosh, it was just a sense of calm. It really was. Normally I probably would have been panicked several years ago. And I just tell people, it's not like I'm sitting on $1 million that I don't have to work anymore. But I think my work here is done. I just think that was a place of rest. I've been there about almost 3 years, was a place of rest, because the prior role I had been in was not a very good, situation. And God removed me from that. And this was a great opportunity, but it's time for something else. And like I told her, and this is exactly what I told her in this conversation, I said, you know, when God closes one door, he opens another one. That's I said, I don't know what it is. I said, but I'm in this holding pattern. I said, but at least there's a window. So we chuckled about that. And that is where we, you know, she's having a harder time with this than I am. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a big lesson on not taking on other people's energy. You know what I mean? You know, because you were at a place where you were at peace with it once she shared it with you. And it sometimes can be real easy to let someone else dictate your response because of how they're responding. But your strength and who you are, you know, allowed you to kind of realize your own feelings and flow in your own feelings and kind of move forward from there. And that's something that we as women have to, you know, be conscious of and make sure that we are not taking on everyone else's stuff. You know, their inability to meet you where you need to meet them, or, you know, whatever that is, but allow yourself to feel what you feel, be okay with not feeling horrible about it. But, and then, you know, being able to make a conscious decision on how you're going to move forward, that in and of itself is you thinking of you first.
Yes, I would totally agree with that, because the last question was, well, you know, you can leave early because everyone else that we've met with, you know, have left us, and I'm not going anywhere. So I got a couple meetings this afternoon, which is what I did. And I said, I'll leave early like I normally do to miss the traffic, because it's like an hour and a half or longer for me to get home. But other than that, I said, I am good. And one of the things I'm going to add here, God led me to reach out to those others who were impacted. And I don't say this, I'm not saying this to pat myself on the back, because that was not the point of it. It was just to express empathy, because normally they don't see that happening to HR. And I shared with them that my position is eliminated too. And they're like, oh my goodness. And there were some people who were praying for you. But they said, I really appreciate you reaching out, giving me more details about, you know, my PTO payout and how all this will work and when they're going to process my last check, those types of things that you wanted to express a level of empathy and really felt led to do that. And it warmed my heart too. So you receive something back that was not my intent, but receive something back that let you, at the end of the day, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Well, I want to share too, you know, Tina, this is for me such a testament of the leader that you are, of how you're dealing with these things and how you're also sharing your journey with the people that you're coaching and with the women in your Facebook group, and as well as just others that are in your circle. And vulnerability is leadership. And we learned that from Brené Brown and Dare to Lead also. Yes. But yeah, your willingness to share hard things, even in the midst of hard things. Yeah. Like, I love that you didn't wait a year to tell people what's really going on with you during this time. And the ability to have people go on the journey with you. Because you're in a major growth phase right now. Anytime we're in a time of transition, there is lessons that we're learning there, you know, whether we choose the transition or it chooses us, we are it's a period of growth and stretching ourselves. And for you as a leader to share what's really going on with you right now is such a cool opportunity for people to learn with you in the midst of what you're dealing with, and to allow yourself to be supported by people that you are typically in a support role.
Yeah.
I think that allows people to feel more part of your story and to be able to grow with you and to learn from you and with you while you're learning the lessons that this chapter of your life is going to bring you and is bringing you right now.
I think it also lets them know that they're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, especially with you reaching out to, you know, some of the other people in your office that was released. That call in and of itself let them know that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because sometimes you feel that way when you get that kind of news.
Oh, yes.
You're in the car or whatever. You think it's, what did I do? Why me? Kind of energy. But I think that your call probably helped them to kind of move through that a little bit faster than it would have if they hadn't heard from you.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. Cause I think when I first started, that second week I was laying people off that I didn't know. So we've gone through quite a few rounds, and I'm always, you're there to support the manager, because usually the managers are the ones who have to do it, not necessarily HR, but you're there to make sure from a legal compliance that we're legally compliant, the things that we're saying. But I just want them to feel supported. I really, really, that is so important to me. And it's the same way on the flip side of how I conduct myself with the women that I coach or the people that are in the Facebook group. I want people to feel supported, that you don't have to have all of the answers, that you do have people who genuinely do care about you and want to see you succeed. And I'm here for that every day of the week. So,
And you have people that care about you. So as you support them, as you support them, we support you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I really, really do. It means a lot, because I said I've come a long way since January 2nd. It was just
I know.
Just like,
I'm super proud of you, girl.
Oh my goodness! I said I don't know what I don't know, and it's just how, you know, you're questioning yourself. One of the things I'll mention, and in full transparency, I believe in therapy. I have worked with a couple, I was working with a business coach at the time, and you only can go so long with that. And it was just like, I was scrolling through, I think, my Instagram, and I was like, is this lady legit? And I found someone that showed up, and I said, only in the grace of God. I did the research and just been wonderful, pushing me to do the work, knowing it's not something that I did, and and loving yourself. In spite of the things that happen to you. So they always tell everyone, therapy is my friend. So
yeah. You did something that I think is important for, you know, for everyone to do when they're going through some, you know, such a traumatic change, is that you stepped away. You took time for yourself. So tell us about that.
When this happened, I almost forgot about that. I booked a trip to a spa in Middleburg, Virginia, Salamander Resorts. That's where I went, Salamander Resorts. And the most gorgeous spa. I went by myself. Mm-hmm. And it was hard, but it was so worth it. I'm taking hikes in the snow, something I would never do back home. I'm doing yoga. It was just, you know, having dinner, meeting new people. It was a time of reflection, a time of prayer. And it was just, I'm so glad I did it. I really, really, not that that's out of character for me because I love to travel, but to do that so quickly after what had happened, to do that, to care for myself and to dote on myself. I mean, I got, when I got in the room and they had, I forgot what it was, some kind of little cookie or scone that was there. Yeah. And I was like dancing around and it came in a cute little box. I had left the room and came back and they had cleaned the room. I'm like, oh my gosh, she took my little box and I wanted to take the box back with me. But it was just nice to revel in those small little things like that, you know, and just loving on myself, you know, sitting in the fireplace, front of the fireplace and having a gorgeous bathroom. I mean, it was just top notch. I would definitely go back again under different circumstances, but it was nice to take the time because I normally would not do that, to step away mm-hmm. and love on myself.
Yeah.
So you booked yourself a getaway after you got that news that the wedding is called off. And your response was to book yourself a trip and get out of town and take care of yourself. That's so good. And that's such a brave thing to do too, because I think some of us are scared to be by ourselves when, especially when we're sad. I think that's such a sign of a good, healthy spiritual fitness or a desire. Yes. For healthy spiritual fitness is to have the willingness to be by yourself and take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I think if I look back on some of the unhealthiest times of my life, I was not able to be alone. Mm-hmm. I was doing anything I could to not be by myself, to not be quiet, to not be, you know, I wanted to be out with people and who can I take out for drinks? Who can I take out for dinner? Like don't anything to not be alone. And to be now in a place where I'm more spiritually fit and healthy, like I kind of like being alone. I kind of like having time to myself.
Yes.
But when things go wrong, it is hard to give yourself the gift of silence because it feels deafening sometimes when you're by yourself and you don't want to be by yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So now I also know that you have another trip coming up.
I do. And I booked that, I don't think too long after I got back from that one. We were scheduled to be married on May the 10th of this year. And I did not want to be here on that day. So May 9th, I leave to go to Italy. And I'll be in Italy for 8 days. And awesome. my son got wind of it. He says, I'd like to go. I said, really? He says, yeah, I'm going. So he's booked to go. So he and I are going to Italy. We're going to Florence, Venice, and I know it's somewhere else. Rome.
Rome.
Yeah. And so very cool. I am so excited. I love traveling internationally. So this will be Justin's first international trip. So I am excited. I'm excited about this. And it just feels freeing. Versus feeling like you're suffocating or hiding under the covers, and it's life goes on. It's so funny. I think I've become more passionate, not more passionate, but more ideas are flowing of things that I've talked about doing for from a coaching standpoint or from the Facebook standpoint, that there's things that we're putting in place that actually just recently rolled out. So I'm excited about all these new things that are coming. So
I'm so proud of you for making that decision. You know, again, another choice that was about you and for you, because like you said, you have that date, you know, coming up, and a lot of people do, you know, find themselves going spiraling you know, at that moment. But you're like, no, I'm going to turn this thing around and make this about me in a celebration. And the fact that your son is going with you and you're experiencing something with him for the first time, which is him traveling internationally, now you're going to have, you're making memories and experiences.
Exactly.
With you forever. So I think that in and of itself, ladies, is something we all need to do when you're faced with those types of things. What can I do for me? How can I love on myself? And you just was a perfect example of how to handle something like that moving forward, not standing still or going backwards, but deciding to take a step forward towards you. So I am so proud of you for doing that.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. You are flipping the script.
That's right.
I am trying.
Yes. The script said that this should be a time that Tina's sad and feeling sorry for herself. And she is out living her best life, growing, doing exciting things, building her business, having new experiences that are full of love and joy and all the things. Tina, I would love for you to be able to share with our listeners. Tell us about what your Women Flipping the Script Facebook group is all about. That you've been diving into and working on. Tell us the good
stuff. I am so passionate about this group. I don't know if these women realize this, and I'll share this on here. I pray for these women. We started out, Women Flipping the Script will be a year old April 1.
Awesome.
We started out with 60 women, and we're just shy of 500 now. A lot of people have been trickling in. One of the things that I thought was important is for women to understand, you don't have to know it all. But surround yourself with like-minded women who want to uplift you and support you and be able to provide feedback on what you're doing. I learned so much even from students, because there's sometimes they've been in situations or deals. I have not been in that type of deal or whatnot. And I learned so much from them. And it's about, for me, being transparent, because I believe the women trust me. And that is so important for me to feel that level of trust, but also that I'm giving you what you need. This is, there's so many wonderful things about this group. my goal in the group was not to provide fluff, was to provide solid content that they can use in their businesses or tools they can use in their businesses. It's just been phenomenal. I just, the love you get back. I see them in other Facebook groups. I have one student, I won't call her name, but I always see her promoting me in whatever group she's in. You need to know, you know who it is. Like, you need to join up. We're actually on the loan that's going to have to foreclose. We actually are on that loan together. She's awesome. And it's just when she speaks and it warms my heart when I see them reply in other groups and the answer is spot on. And it's a full answer, not just giving you, I was telling them, you don't want to just give cliff notes, because then you leave out parts that people are wondering, you know, they see the end result, but how did you get there? Yeah. And so, but it has just been a phenomenal group of women. One of the things that's important to me in this group is to give back. We are, next Wednesday, we're doing our Wind Down Wednesday. Usually we would have a speaker, but we are doing our new member meetup during this time. We're also doing, I call it the Real Estate Jeopardy. And we normally give prizes, you know, really nice prizes away, which I think I always want the people to know that I am thankful and I don't take for granted for them being in the group. It is important for me to know that you feel valued. If there's something, because some people send me, you know, I get a DM or what have you, that people know. I've had people ask me, how big are you trying to grow this group? And I said, that is up to God. I don't know how big you're trying to go, but I like the fact that it's small enough that I can still interact with each of you as, you know, as necessary. And then you have your standouts in the group that people always comment or sharing or whatnot. But there's just, it's just an exciting group that embraces all that we have to offer. And so that, for that, I'm just really blessed.
Yeah. Who is your group for? So people listening, if they're like, that sounds amazing, is this group for me? How do people know if this is the right place for them?
All the women, it's called Women Flipping the Script, a PML Sisterhood. Keep in mind, everybody in the group is not a private moneylender. Even in my coaching program, it's geared for to understand both sides of the business. And I think it's so important for, I shared that yesterday. I was at a real estate a meetup in Columbus, and I shared with them, we talked about, you know, everything else except private money lending, but having an understanding of what you need to know as a borrower, you know, when you come to the table, you know, how important it is to be able to articulate your deal, you know, that I'm getting all the key points. We're rolling out a platform called Pitch Tank. It's similar to Shark Tank.
Cool.
What it will be a round table of vetted PMLs who actually have funds available to fund a deal. Doesn't guarantee you they're going to be funded, but it'll give borrowers an opportunity to be in front of them and to come to the table and share their deal. And then they can decide if they want to fund it or not. And there's some parameters in place. There's some guidelines that have to be followed, but everyone's been really, really excited about that. We're looking at hosting a retreat this year. And this is just, like I said, private money lenders, borrowers, anybody, I think in REI, because there's people, I'm in groups that have nothing, it's real estate related, but it's have nothing to do with private money lending, but I have networked with so many people. And I think it's important. And I tell people, outside of communication being bar none in our relationships as PMLs and borrowers, making sure you're getting out there and networking. And that is what I have them do in this group. I said, if you see someone and they're doing really well, reach out, ask them, can I get on your calendar? Or can we chat sometime? Or if they're local, can we go for a coffee? Don't wait for a big group, you know, meetup or whatnot. Reach out. And that's what I've done. And I tell them that I want them to be proactive. I want them to be badass. I said, if you're looking to lend in a town that you know nothing about, call a realtor. I said, I can go on ChatGPT and like, who's the top five realtors in, you know, X city? It gives it to me. And I've had someone from my marketing team said, can you call all these people and ask blah, blah, blah. And you get what you need. Even in the foreclosure deal, one of the blessings I had, we did exactly that because I did not have a realtor or a broker there. She called all the ones on the list. Everybody wanted to charge me something. One called back and I wanted to get a comparative market analysis. Mm-hmm. And he did it for free. And when I showed up over there, I had a thank you card with $50 in it. I mean, these are just things that you do just to show your appreciation. And he's like, I really like to partner with you sometime. I said, but I usually only work with women. So, but anyway.
Is he single?
he's a granddad. No, I'm going to. I do not know if he's single, but he's been super, super, super nice. Saying that he'd be boots on the ground for us, you know, till we can get back. So, awesome. So it's been wonderful, but I've just a great group of women that I've just been privileged and humbled to work with in this group.
That's awesome. And I think it's so good for you as a coach to be walking through one of the most challenging things that can happen in a private money lending deal when you are the lender. And could you just describe, because when people hear the word foreclosure, they may be thinking, oh, you're going through, are you having a property foreclosed on? That's not what we're talking about here. So Tina, could you explain, you don't have to share any details or who's involved, please don't. But could you just share, explain the situation so that people understand what you're talking about when we say private money lending deal and foreclosure in the same sentence? What is going on?
Sure. Well, the first thing I did was find an attorney, because this is not my area of expertise, nor have I been through something like this. And so I wound up securing an attorney, and me and the other PML, she's in first lien. I'm in second lien on one of the properties. The other one I'm in second lien on, but the one that we are working on secured an attorney who understood what the issue was, because what we were initially looking for was a deed in lieu of foreclosure. So we thought with the problems that were going on, this particular borrower had secured a little over $1 million from multiple PMLs, and all in the same vicinity, so to speak. And none of these houses really made it across the finish line as far as being purchased. You know, I think one was placed on the market, but not crossing the finish line. So my thing is, what can we do to remedy this? And so initially I took the guidance of the attorney that we tried the deed in lieu of foreclosure. They came back and did not want us to do that. They didn't want to do that, I guess I should say, because they wanted us to forfeit our personal guarantee. And I refused to do that. And so did the PML and First Lien. I said, you need to be accountable, because there's a lot of money that's been on the table. Thank God mine's not to the tune of $1 million, but money's money. Mm-hmm. And they elected not to do that. And so, make a long story short, since I'm in second lien, we actually did this today. Mm-hmm. I had to assign my mortgage to the person in first lien in order for us to file for foreclosure. Mm-hmm. So that is where we are right now. With this, have not heard anything from the borrower or anyone on her team. And it's just disheartening, because I try to meet people where they are and trust you. And I tell the ladies, no matter how much due diligence you did, and I did all my due diligence that I could possibly do. Yeah. I am working with an attorney friend of mine who's tightening up my documents, because one of the things as well is making sure that the money that you're lending is used on the property on which you're loaning on. I don't necessarily know that that happened. I don't have any proof, but there's some things that I'm learning through this process that I'm sharing through. I'll be sharing through my work with the students of some things to watch out for as you move, you know, as you move forward. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you a question. And the fact that you, it sounds like what you were saying is that you combined both loans to make it one.
That is correct. That is what the attorney said. And we are in a, I think they call it a judicial state. So and there's quite a few of those, because there are some states you can lend in and it, you can just go straight to foreclosure and don't have to do all the hoop jumping. That doesn't happen here. We're having to actually, you know, do that. But like I said, it is what it is. I'm not freaked out, but I'm trying to do move it forward. And the person at First Lien has a much bigger chunk of the loan than I do. And she's a student. She's a former student. Yeah. So we are working this together. We're like-minded. She flew in from New Jersey. I drove over because it was 2 hours drive for me where the properties were located. And we spent the day there. We picked her up at her hotel, and we spent the day together going, doing what we needed to do. So it's nice to be working with someone who's like-minded and, but, and we trust each other and trusting the attorney's this attorney's guidance.
I think that's some good information for the ladies to hear. The option that you guys chose to take, which is to combine both loans to make it one. And you are in agreement to do it that way, because I think a lot of people, when they're in second lien position, they keep thinking that, well, I'm just out of it. My money's just gone. It's the first person in the first lien is more protected. But by you doing that, it sounds like now you're both protected, or you both at least are going to be, you know, be able to be in the same position moving forward. And so that's a great thing to consider too, because I would have never thought about doing it that way. So that's some good information for you to share for some of the ladies that might be going through something similar to think about and how to, you know, and how to move forward and resolve something like that. But it is a team effort, you know, just because you're in first and somebody else is in second, you know, it's best to think about both parties.
I totally agree. Another house I'm on over there, I'm in second lien on that one. And the person in first lien, we're on different ends, I think, of the spectrum on how it should be taken care of. And one of the things I do, I don't get caught up in the fray or the gossip of the situation. I remove myself from that, because it's like, I've prayed about it. I said, I know this will work out. And I just have to trust that when I'm in a holding pattern on. So I said, God has me, I'm in the waiting room again. So we'll just figure out what the next step is, but I'm trusting you to work this out.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a heck of a case study.
Yeah, we did one last week on the one house, and they were just that we had a guest attorney, a real estate attorney as part of the class. And they were just, Oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And I'm like, well, if it happens to me, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
I said, but, you know, I've really worked really hard. I've done a number of loans. I've never lost money. I said, but, you know, things come up, and I wasn't thinking, the biggest thing and the takeaway is to, when you are lending money, if you cannot put your own physical eyes on the property that you have, you contact a realtor or someone. If you got another sister in the area that you trust, that this person can go and take video, not pictures, video, starting from the outside of the house and walking in, so that you can see what it looks like when, as my money's getting loaned out and we're going to, the title company's going to close, compared to what it looks like, when you actually, you may fly, like when we went to see it, nothing virtually had been done to the one property, and you've had it almost a year, and we're trying to figure out, there's 4 feet of water in the basement. We're trying to figure out what happened here. And I could tell they hadn't been there for, they hadn't been there for a while. So we're trying to, take all of this in and trying to, digest kind of like, what are the next steps? So,
Good for you.
Mm-hmm. And Tina, I love your brand name, Grit and Polish. I think it's so cool. Tell us what is Grit and Polish all about?
It's sort of like what I'm going through now. When you have to go through something, you really got to dig in there. So it's like, how do I rise above this? And it takes, and being able to do that with integrity, and still with a smile on your face, because you still got to get up and, make the bacon. And how you go about doing that in a way that's has a level of finesse to it. And that's where that name came from for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like you just embody professionalism, and for someone who wants to next level their investment game, as a real estate investor doing private money lending, even if they really don't know a lot about real estate investing, like, they're going to learn from you how to approach opportunities with professionalism and keep your cool when things don't go right. Because things always come up, and that's the reality, especially when we're talking about real estate, is that things don't always go as we plan, and we keep moving forward, and we handle our business. We don't pull the blanket over our heads. Just like in life, we have to show up and do the next thing, take care of ourselves, and make sure that we are not, not throwing ourselves under the bus to make somebody else feel comfortable with the speed bumps, right?
Amen.
And making sure you got people around you that you can turn to, that offers you the support that you need, at the time that you're experiencing this kind of thing. I think that's important too. Make sure you're in the right place with the right people who are going to help you to rise above whatever it is that you are experiencing. So I'm super proud of you, girl.
Thank you. I want to tag on to that. And there's people that, because I have people that I'm close to, but there's some people you just can't share that information with because you're not being fed back. It becomes your, what did you do? And I'm like, that's not what this is about. And that's not what I need right now.
That's right.
And sometimes you have to, it's like, we're not going to have that conversation. And so, and I want to save our friendship, and let's not have that conversation. And I love you in spite of that. And we just move on to something else.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. The same thing applies to business, though. When you tie it back into business, you can't have business conversations with everybody.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So that applies across the board. Actually, a lot of what we deal with that we apply in business also applies in our personal life, also, applies in other areas of your life. So it's not compartmentalized. And I think you understand that. And I think that's what makes it possible for you to excel in all the areas of your life.
And be successful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It warms my heart.
Well, Tina, every week on the show, we invite our listeners to do something to take bold action. So what is something that you would challenge our listeners to do this week to take bold action in their life or in their business?
I am going to, this is from my devotions this morning. And it's so funny. I just downloaded this app and it was related to the situation I'm going through. I said, man, this is God speaking. So I felt led to share this. So I'm going to share this. It says, when we make a relationship, and it could be anything, your business or whatnot, the center of our security, we unknowingly place it in a role only God can fulfill. That has been my lesson learned. So when you're struggling, remember who was at the forefront of that. This is what scripture calls an idol. And I have to say that for myself, that my relationship, I really believe I idolized it because I felt like there was something that was sent from God and what all I can do to make everything okay. And understanding that there's some things that you just can't make okay. Mm-hmm. And then on the back part of that, and I want people to understand that if you are struggling, healing begins the moment you stop reaching for love in places that cannot hold you and instead receive the love that already does. And they're talking about the love of God. And that's what I want people to take away from this. And that is where I'm residing right now. If people ask me sometimes, how's it going? I said, I am sitting at the feet of God. And they just start laughing. But I said, it is so true that you have an understanding of being able to have discernment, you know, when you're in a situation and if you wind up hurt, and a lot of times there's different things can hurt us for a variety of reasons. How do you begin healing and be in that safe space where God wants you to be? And that is what I'm working toward now. So I'm wishing that for everyone who's listening.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Well, Tina, if somebody wants to work with you, they want to be part of your group, how do they connect with you?
On Facebook, it's Women Flipping the Script, a PML sisterhood. That's easy to find. Or on the coaching side of the business, it's gritandpolishcoaching.com.
Awesome. And we'll put those links in the description of the podcast. And Brenda, how do people work with you or connect with you?
You can go to my website, brendastroud.com. On Facebook, I have two groups. The Legacy Squad, and You Better Ask Somebody. That's a cute name, right? as well as Roar Society. I'm very active in that, in our educational group called Roar Society, and so on Facebook as well.
All right. Thank you so much. Well, sisters, if you're listening and there is something on this show that resonated with you today, I would invite you to share it with a sister. If you know somebody who is going through it and they need to be more resilient and have some lessons in how to bounce back, I encourage you to send this episode to them. And if you're a woman entrepreneur, you can join my Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood, where I share strategies for clarity, confidence, and making powerful connections so that you can build the business and the life you deserve. And you can register for a free workshop with me at AndreaEngstrom.com. All right. Thank you again to my beautiful co-host, Brenda Stroud, and to our guest today, Tina Boyd. Tina, thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing
vulnerably today and letting our listeners and us in on what's going on in your world.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah. I enjoyed this.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.